Nope. Seen it. Oh, nah.
Can't find something to watch? Introducing Sky Stream. It's Sky without the dish. Watch unmissable Sky exclusives like The Regime and Netflix too, all over super reliable Sky full fibre broadband. Get Sky Stream, Sky Broadband and Netflix for just €50 a month. Search Sky Stream. Availability subject location. New customers only. 12-month minimum term. Stream and broadband sold separately. Further terms apply. For more info, see sky.ie/speeds.
This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920. There's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
You know, you just get that feeling that Tipperary, I think yesterday confirmed that they are officially back. Just the scores, just, you know, the intensity of the game. Tipperary threw everything at Limerick yesterday. And look, I even asked the question, like, what, you know, albeit, you know, Tipperary had the fallback of playing Waterford this week, but we've seen time and time again, you know, teams go and face in Limerick and, you know, a quick turnaround 7 days later. What would yesterday be able to take out of Tipperary?
Hello and welcome to the Throw-In Hurling Show with me, Michael Burney. And this week I'm also joined by Eddie Brennan and John Milan to look back on a crazy weekend of hurling action. And the first question I have is directed towards you, John. I got a couple of very, very concerned text messages yesterday. They asked me, is John Milan okay? We think he's going to have a seizure in Turles, such is his excitement at the action. First things first, John, are you okay?
I'm more than okay. No, but look, it was an absolute pleasure to be at that game and to commentate on the game with Gerald Cannon. You know, Munster Championship at its best. I mean, I was watching the Clare Cork game, and I was saying in my own mind, like, how are both Limerick and Tipperary, you know, going to follow on from that spectacle in Ennis, which was an unbelievable game as well. But yeah, they did. They went toe to toe, hammer and tongs. They went at it. There was no holding back, and it was every bit as good as the game in Ennis. And just, you know, as a whole, I just think it was an unbelievable day for hurling in general. And, you know, we touched on, you know, we went into it last week about the 2 weeks ago about the old GAA Go fiasco. And I think what was great was that the whole country got to witness the two games live on RTE yesterday. And to be there in Turles, the atmosphere was just incredible. You know, both the Tipperary, Limerick fans, what, 38,000, 39,000 at the match, really got behind our side, both our sides. And look, for me, I think, you know, you just get that feeling that Tipperary, I think yesterday confirmed that they are officially back. You know, just the scores, just, you know, the intensity of the game. Tipperary threw everything at Limerick yesterday. And look, I even asked the question, like, what, you know, albeit, you know, Tipperary have the fallback of playing Waterford this week, but, you know, we've seen time and time again, you know, teams go and face in Limerick and, you know, a quick turnaround 7 days later. What would yesterday you have to take out of Tipperary, you know, going into this week? But from the Limerick point of view, look, they're survived, they're surviving, they're still there. Look, great credit to them. They're probably not where they would like to be just yet. But look, if you're a Limerick player, a Limerick management team, every time you go out, you have the kitchen sink thrown at you, like, you know, and that must be very, very challenging. It must be tough. And again, this week, it's going to be the exact same thing. Cork are going to throw the kitchen sink at them. And it's not a game where they go out and, you know, you go out and you play a game of hurling and you know, you go hammer and tongs of it on the scoreboard. It's the physical element of it. Like, you know, teams are just throwing everything at Limerick physically, and it's probably starting to tell on Limerick both physically and mentally. And I just feel if Limerick can survive this weekend and get over Cork, get back into Croke Park, I think they'll become a dangerous animal then. But you know, what's to say that, you know, it's going to be a foregone conclusion that they get over Cork? And you know what Cork have in their favour now? They have a small bit of a buffer behind them. That the fact that, you know, if the game goes into squeaky bum time and goes down to the last 5 minutes, Cork have the fallback of knowing that, you know, if there's a point or two in it, a draw all it was to get us over the line. But you know, again, we talk about it, the jewel in the crown, the Munster Championship. It just keeps getting better and better week on week, and we've another massive contest to look forward to this week in the Gaelic grounds.
Eddie John had it in his column in the Irish Independent on Saturday that some people were saying that Limerick were like the veteran boxer leaning back against the ropes, kind of tired and nearly been waiting to be knocked out. They're still there. They're still in that position. There's an element of Kilkenny 2010, a bit of this to me with Limerick, where there's a physical fatigue, but maybe there's a mental fatigue. What's your read on Limerick?
Yeah, well, I think you'd have to go along with they've been measured well for the last couple of years, and it's about time someone, you know, was able to, you know, get a handle of them from a competitive point of view. It's not, you know, they've set a standard that everyone had to go up to if they're going to excel. So what you're seeing is teams are, you know, really targeting them in a lot of facets of the game. They're getting their matchups right. And there's no doubt about it. I think what's coming into play a little bit, look, is they are on the road since 2018, quarterfinal 2017-ish. So, yeah, the shortened season and all that, but they're still doing a lot of high-intensity hurling. You know, they've put in a big league. You know, that training that you're doing, yeah, it makes you stronger and faster and all that as you get older and all that. But sometimes it's like everybody wants a piece of you. I'm sure those Limerick lads have, you know, from off-field stuff as well, they've become very, very popular. So there's a lot of things going on, and that can have an impact. It can feel, you know, it can have an impact on players. You might just do slightly different things. You might be starting to go into reserves that you haven't before. But I think the big one, and I referenced that this today, like, is the pressure is coming in on top of you, you know, because, you know, and John Kiely touched on this, and it is part of it. Like, it's no matter, it's every world sport you go to. When you are at the top, it's brilliant. You make your breakthrough. Then they want radio. They want new champions. And Limerick are finding that at the moment. And it's a combination of all those things are starting to get in top of them. And then throwing as well, a couple of lads dipping in form. And, you know, just to take you back to even our little old hurling trip, Mixer. Like, we were talking about this at breakfast one morning. And I said, you know, Limerick have a system, right? And it's very hard to go away from that. Coming out of the league, you'd say, awesome. But you're now coming into territory where everyone is measuring you upside down, inside out. They're getting matchups right. What if, you know, Kinnerk and co decide, or John Kiely decide, let's change it up a bit? And I said it to you one morning at breakfast. We were chatting with Kieran and Brendan. I said, you know, what about, I'd love to see is someone like Hegarty in on the edge of the square with Gillan. And I know you're changing a system that works, but you still have Tom Morrissey, very effective where he is. Colin O'Neill had an unbelievable game yesterday. So it's all of those things coming in on top of them, you know. And as a player, right, just say, for example, you know, the Keane Lynch or the Hegarty, you know yourself, maybe you aren't, you know, flying or zipping as much as you'd like. And sometimes then the more you chase your form, the harder you try, the worse it can often get. And sometimes, you know, whatever happens this year, right, and come what may, and we have an exciting championship ahead of us, you know, but I almost felt that at the end of 2010, there was a bit of pressure off us. There was a monkey off our back a little bit. We could almost breathe out and just get on with your next step of your career. And you know, whatever that's going to be for Limerick, you know, at this time next year, to be potentially five in a row or whatever, it's like the Dubs. Eventually, it just stops. And I think as a player, I felt anyway, that at the end of 2010, you could breathe out and say, right, that's grand. It's over and done with. Let's move on.
John, just on Sunday, I don't want to focus on that game too much, but if Limerick were to go through the back, get third place, if they get a win against Cork, they're going through the back door, they're playing a preliminary quarter final, potentially an All Ireland quarter final, semi final, and final. And given how attritional Munster is, that is far from the ideal path, shall we say, particularly with the fatigue it looks like they're showing both mentally and physically this year.
Yeah, and look, I suppose, you know, we're contrasting between both Kilkenny going for the four in a row and Dublin the football. But look, what Kilkenny and Dublin had in their favour is that they had a relatively easier pathway than Limerick had. No disrespect to the teams back in Leinster, back when Eddie were going for the four in a row and the five in a row and similar to Dubs. They kind of knew that they were going to rock up to a semi-final and that they could time their run, probably, you know, have it in their own mindset, right, we've two big hurdles to get over and we're going to win the All-Ireland. But the difference here is that Limerick, you know, from the get-go, you know, from day one, they have to be right at it. You know, you even see Waterford through the kitchen sink at them. You know, Clare through the kitchen sink at them. And they only came up short by a point yesterday. Tipperary through the kitchen sink at them, drew the game. Like, Limerick could very easily find themselves in a Munster final. You know, it was very little in any of the three games. But now they've got to get over a Cork team who aren't going to go away too easy. They're going to show the kitchen sink at Limerick. They're going to have to come in through the back door. Now, look, when they won their first All-Ireland, they won it through the back door, but there's a big, big difference between going this route now, what, 5-6 years later than when they were going first starting out their journey, where they were fresh, they were young, they had no miles on the clock. And, you know, if they get to an All-Ireland quarter-final, which if they get over the weekend, they will probably win the preliminary quarter-final. As I go back to you, you're then coming up against a fresh Galway or a fresh Kilkenny side, who again are going to throw the kitchen sink at Kilkenny. So effectively, that's going to be five, you know, really high, intense battles that they're going to have to overcome before they even rock up to an All-Ireland semi-final. So there's no given that, you know, if the path that they will go down possibly now, if they do get over Cork, is going to be the right pathway. I think the opposite, that if they won the Munster final, it would have, you know, got them into an All-Ireland semi-final. It would have given them another break of probably 3 weeks.
But just to jump in on that, John, then if we were to go back then, and I think you're right, like, there's no doubt it's a bit lopsided. So that beggars a question in the overall scheme of the championship. You know, what's the best way? What's the way that gives everyone the same platform, the same types of matches? It's very hard to do that. The only one that's going to allow that is maybe a 10-team league-based championship, but you obviously, your Munster championship can't be just swatted aside for that, or the Leinster championship. But I suppose the point I'm making is, if you look at then, does the way your matches, that you get the draw in the Munster championship, does that lend itself to then a strategic, you know, you look at Clare now, they get 3 weeks now to refresh for that Munster. So they've their business done. The boys will go at it for another week. You know, Tip as well, played a match, then off for another 2 weeks, played another match. Whereas Limerick got the double up 2-2 and the more than Waterford. So what I'm saying is, the way the draws are in the round robin can often hinder you. If you know what I mean, you say, look, it looks like it has trun down Limerick, an unmerciful path now ahead, or even for any Munster team if there's come through. So, you know, how the fixtures are made is significant. It's a bit like the rugby. If you're at home for the couple of matches, it can be significant, but it's the timings of those matches. Whereas they have to go, like you said, there, another massive weekend where they have to go all out and then recharge the batteries for Clare in the Munster final, whoever, you know, with a 3 week wait, you know. So that's an element that does have an impact, I think.
But Eddie, I go back to we go back to last year, right? We take, for instance, like the two battles that Clare had against Limerick, like, and we've seen it, how much it took out of Clare when they got to the All Ireland series. But like, Wexford should have possibly beaten them in Thurles, and Kilkenny blew him out of water in Crow Park. But we forget that, you know, there's never any question like how much of an impact it would have on Limerick, and we're actually starting to see it now with the impact it's starting to have. That it's you can see it's starting to take its toll, where these teams are just throwing the kitchen sink at Limerick week in, week out, and you can see it in, and they're only human. They're bound to wane, but you know, is there enough in the tank to say, well, look, we'll get over Cork and we still have another three big battles to go and win the four in a row. The thing I will be clinging to, if I am a Limerick fan, is that they are a Crow Power team. They seem to grow even more when they get into Crow Power, and that's where I think your Keane Lynch's, your Garrow and Hegarty's will come alive, and they'll find their form in Crow Park. But the biggest challenge for Limerick is getting into Crow Park, because you know they're going to have to overcome Cork, and they're possibly going to have to win an All Ireland quarter final against a fresh Kilkenny or a fresh Galway team, possibly in Turles again.
Yeah, Limerick have plenty on their plate this weekend against Cork, and we'll chat about Cork in a minute. Eddie, just want to have a look at Tip quickly. To me, this was a bit of a statement performance from Tip, especially given some of the bodies that they're missing. I just thought tactically they got it spot on. Even Rhys Shelley coming into the nets, I thought he offered a huge amount from puckouts. The ball was barely gone wide and the ball was back in play. They didn't let Limerick set up and get their kind of system in place for puckouts. And even to get the draw, they've lost games coming down the stretch against Limerick the last couple of years. This, like, I know they didn't win, but still a huge, huge performance. Very, very heartening for this year and for the coming years.
Oh, yeah. Look, you'd have to say, look, okay, one little moment in a match, which could have been the lifeline, will say, if Mulcahy sees Peter Casey inside him, could that have been the knockout blow? And you'd say that's what the top teams do. But I think it probably would have been an injustice to Tipperary not to get something out of that match. They hurled so well. Rhys went in and I thought he mixed it up lovely. You know, there was a few there in the first half, you'd say, that it was out of trying to do. He was trying to keep Tipperary moving at a high tempo. You know, he mixed it up lovely. He went to Ronan Maher when he needed to. Ronan Maher fired some good balls down. Then a few times he went, you know, it was almost like a stripe move there. He went to Breen, came out himself, took the receiving straight down on top. And I think Garrod O'Connor made a great catch and they got a score out of that. So I thought he quarterbacked things lovely, which is what you really need. You know, the modern goalkeeper has to be that. So, you know, in fairness to him, he gave them a great platform. But overall, matchups wise, you know, Dan McCormack, I think we were talking about a couple of us during the week, we're saying, you know, is Dan McCormack the man to maybe be that little kind of a, he's like a wasp going around, you know, he's just annoying and he's stuck with Hegarty, really frustrated him. And then, look, I suppose I referenced two lads today, Noel McGrath in particular, we'll talk about, but the Bonner, Jesus, what a man. Like, he just, I don't know how he made up ground on several tackles. Like, he was in kind of corner forward and then he was out. He was just all over the place and he was aggressive. He was winning tackles. You know, he was blown for a hand pass that was a perfect hand pass. But what Tipperary managed to do, and fairness to Liam Kyle and Beavins, they got their tactics, you know, really, really good. They managed to open up Limerick a bit more than I've seen Limerick opened up in a long time. And how they done that? The ball was sticking, they weren't fumbling ball, and then they were breaking the tackle. And they turned Limerick around, they turned the Limerick backs around time and again and ran at them. You know, you had two of the Limerick backs, I think, booked early doors. At one stage there, Jake Morris came in from underneath the stand side there in the 45, and he was able to jinx left and right with Mike Casey. And, you know, you had a picture of a Limerick defence at that moment in time with four defenders inside the 45, which is just unseen. So Tip's energy, and I think overall whatever happens this year with Tip, and Tip won't ever, you know, they're that type of county that they may have looked at this year as maybe they won't be successful this year, maybe we'll build and all the injuries, but by God, they won't want anything less than a bit of silverware. That is just the nature of the county and the expectation. But it augurs fierce well for Tipperary as a county and for Liam Kyle, knowing that you have a nice bunch of players to come back in for next season. And these boys now this year are putting the jerseys are on their back, and they're probably saying, I'll do a job for you. So all in all, Liam Kyle has the perfect mix there at the moment. And as John said there, I think the one issue going to be for them, they are supremely fit. But God, they're going to have to, you know, make sure that they don't, that there's no slip up this weekend.
No pressure on you, Eddie. You're obviously Mike Harkey, Boris manager, and you have Rhys Shelley in the net. So no pressure, no pressure to make sure you utilise him fairly well this year. But John, just on Tipperary as well, even just as I said to Eddie there, the nature of at the start of the second half, Limerick looked like they were making a bit of a push. Tipper up by 3 at half time. All of a sudden, what is it, 39th minute, Limerick are back ahead. But Tip just kept biting back. And there was just, like, it's amazing to think of the turnaround within Tipperary in 12 months. We have a Tipperary team who last year couldn't get a point in Munster and weren't really competitive. And now they just look a completely different animal.
I go back to it, lads. It's the Bevins and the cattle factor. And I keep banging the drum. I've seen it myself, you know, the impact that they had down here in Waterford in such a short space of time. And you only have to look at the players, the way, you know, the transformation, some of the players, Dan McCormick being one, Jake Morris. I mean, Jake Morris, lads, before, like, he's just putting the head down. He's just going straight for goal. Like, before, like, he was probably playing outside the perimeters, happy to pick off a point or two. But now he's just, he's on in all-star form. Mark Keogh.
Brilliant. Connor Bowe made some impact.
Connor Bowe, you look at Noel McGrath. I mean, Eddie touched on it. To be live in Thurles yesterday and to witness that pass from Noel McGrath, I think it was it the Bowe?
Bowe, yeah. I mean, no,
It was the Bowe. And like, you know, Jesus, it was just a remarkable pass. And I don't probably Noel McGrath. I'd say he's probably the one player I love watching at the moment. He's just incredible. Like, and he's what, 33 years of age, and probably playing the best hurling of the best hurling he's played in the last couple of years. You look at Callan, the impact Callan is having off the bench. You know, you look at Kyle Barrett. They just look a totally different side to where they were 12 months ago. And you know what they have? They have the buy-in of the Tipperary supporters. Now, the Tipperary supporters, there's an appreciation now for this Tipperary team. And that was evident in the aftermath of the match. You know, the Tipperary supporters stayed behind. Some of the Tipperary supporters came on to the field in the aftermath. And I touched on it, lads. I said it there 2 or 3 weeks ago. The longer they stay in this competition, the more they're going to grow under Bevins and Liam Cattle. Can they win the All-Ireland? Look, they're still outsiders, but I'll tell you, if Limerick are keep going the way they're going and struggling along, Tipperary are right up there and genuine contenders to go push on and win the Munster Championship and push on and probably maybe win the Liam McCarthy Cup this year.
Now, look, just look at some too, though. 117 hooks, blocks, and tackles they done yesterday. That's phenomenal, lads. That is absolutely off the charts.
Eddie, I've never seen as many blocks in a big game in 10 years, I'd say. Since you played Tipperary in the replay in 14, I'd say I haven't seen that many blocks. Like, there must have been 8 or 9 really, like, clear cut, brilliantly executed blocks. It was outrageous.
There was a couple there that players had no right to get. Like, I think Noel McGrath got a big one and they got a score off it. But even Declan Hannan came down the sideline, and I think it was maybe Connor Bowe came from nowhere, or Stakelin. One of them came from nowhere. And he had definitely 10, 12 metres on him, and how he got there and got a hurl in. And it was just, even there was one there, I think it was the Bonner got a great one as well. He had no right to get it, and he picked... was it Kyle Hayes' pocket or Declan Hannan's pocket later on? Like, and that's John touched on it there. I think under Cal Waterford, where that team too, the work rate, the appetite for work all over the pitch. Like, you had Jake Morris back around his own half back line at one stage clearing ball. So it's, look, we talk about systems and tactics. Yes, really important now in hurling. But by God, lads, if you don't have brilliant basics, which are your work rate, and everyone has to put in the work rate. And that to me is the foundation of Liam Cahill and Bevan's team. Then it's after that they get the ball in hand, then they run direct. And we know at Tipperary, they will have hurlers, they will have brains. But I think just a tip of a hat to Noel McGrath, lads. like in a modern day, the fitness and the hurling, you know, it's off the charts, the level of athleticism that's required. And I saw, now, fair enough, his game is maybe not galloping up and down the pitch, but he gets around very, very well. He had lads coming off with cramp and he was there to minutes, what, 77. Like, so fair play to the man.
But his brain, his hurling brain is just incredible, right? Like his feet might be slowing down, but he still has that extra second where on other players, and he's able to see things that other players can't see. You can't buy that. But just going on this weekend's game, it's a dangerous game for Tipperary. And I'll tell you why. Like, Waterford have to bring something to the table this week. Like, Davy Fitzgerald has to get a performance for himself, for his own managerial career. I think he has to show something this week. I think the player, Waterford players, have to come out, have to show something. I think they have to bring something to the table. I think if you're Davy, I'd say he'll just say, look, we're just going to go for it. We're just going to throw off the shackles. We're not going to overburden lads with tactics. I think he'll probably freshen it up and go back to that league fixture, lads. You know, there was a bit of, you know, a few words, you know, said in the aftermath and said during the match. So there was a bit of niggle that night. And I think, you know, Davey will be reminding his players, you know, lads, you know, we're going to have a right crack of Tipperary this weekend. You know, and he will be reminding the lads of that fixture back in the league. And the last thing we've got to touch on, how much physically has that game taken out of Tipperary? As I've touched on, we've seen time and time again, you know, the quick turnaround, 6-7 days after playing Limerick, teams can struggle. And look, Waterford have had the break; they're going to be fresh. Now, in saying all that, Tipperary should win the game. If they perform, you will be thinking they will the game. But it's just a little, it could be a little bit of a dangerous game, and it mightn't be as clear cut as everyone is saying that, you know, Tip are going to rock up, they're going to hammer Waterford, they're going to get the 2 points and they're going to rock into a Munster final. I think they'll win this match, but it might be just after a scare or two.
There's a potential that Liam Cattle could be banished to the stand as well, given that he was shown a red card yesterday. So we'll follow that with a lot of interest. There's a lot of things we're not sure about in Munster, lads, but the one thing we are sure about is that Clare are in a Munster final. An absolutely epic win over Cork down in Cusick Park yesterday. Dermot Ryan popping up with the winner. I think he ended up with 4 points and the Man of the Match award. They're genuine Munster and All-Ireland contenders, realistically, yeah. Now, Eddie, aren't they?
You have to, you know, say it. Jesus, Brian Lowen has done an incredible body of work there. He has assembled an All-Ireland, you know, Munster squad. They had to, I think he, you know, even last year, how close they were in Munster, he probably still would have went and said, we need a few more. Mean and Rogers have been, you know, what they have is a bit of impact off the bench as well. But I just see, it's like a Clare team of old in a way. And that's obviously Brian Lowen's way. Just the desire that's in them. You know, there's a real desire in these boys. Dermot Ryan, you know, he wasn't resting on his laurels. And even McInerney yesterday, like even when there was Cork were coming at them, they still stuck at it. They still were brave. You know, Tony Kelly had a great game again. But Jesus, look, they're able to mix it up as well. Tactically, they're smart. Like for a while there, I think in the first half, you know, you had Tony Kelly and Duggan inside in the full forward line as a two.
Old and school, yeah.
They obsess Cork a little bit because Cahalan, like, is a big imposing fella, and Jesus, one thing Duggan doesn't do, and you described him as a pest. He is that type of full forward. He's angry. He reminds me of Owen Kelly from Tip years ago in that he would scrap for every single ball. He never, even a free or a hot ball, he'd be growling at the ref looking for something. And that just kind of, he brings the fight the whole time. But overall, look, I think what Clare have too is they have a nice settled team. And I think, you know, when you go back to how Limerick got to where they got to now, it was over maybe 2 or 3 campaigns. Or as the year wore on, it's like Clare in 13. As the year wore on and we got to the All-Ireland Series, Conor Ryan started to emerge as one of the key men for that Clare team in 13. Well, Malone is after emerging for me as the silent worker. Like the amount of graft that he gets through, and Ryan Taylor as well, they're not much heralded. And Colin Malone has probably had his critics over the years, but fair play to someone like him. The value of someone like, he's like the Donoghue there for a while with Limerick. He just was invisible, really. And I just think that that work that he does will allow other guys. But when you have a forward division that they have, like, and just a quick one, Shane O'Donnell's breakdown, when Clare needed a score in that second half to control a ball out of the sky like that amidst a couple of Cork guys and then set up a score. But no, they're good. And I think there's, if one thing that's driving this Clare bunch is they have a very driven manager, but they're hungry. They are hungry. They're a really hungry team and they're energised.
Just one thing, am I right in saying, has Aidan McCarty played wing back before? He has, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has.
Started off, yeah.
Yeah, so for me, like if Conor Cleary is out, which will probably, the likelihood is he's going to be out, so what, McInerney is going to go back, full back. I like having that big wall of three across where you had McInerney, you had John Conlon, and you had Dermot Ryan. If I was Brian Lowe now, and just throwing it out there, I would put Aidan McCarty back wing back. I'd go Aidan McCarty, I'd go McInerney, and I'd go Dermot Ryan if Cleary's going to be out, and I'd put McInerney back at three. And you have that attack from either wing. Then you've Dermot Ryan bombing forward. You have Aidan McCarty, because as Eddie touched on, they have the luxury of bringing in the likes of Shannar, Meehan, Ian Galvin, so they're not short. They're not short up front, which will allow them to probably push Aidan McCarty back to wing back if they were to go and take that option.
Definitely an interesting one. I'm hearing that Conor Cleary has a dislocated shoulder. He looked in awful pain yesterday, and he's never wanted to go down. He looked in awful trouble.
Yeah, and I just think it would bring just a totally, totally different dynamic to their game. And it probably would bring the same dynamic as kind of a Limerick, where you have Dermot Burns on one side, Kyle Hayes. They're able to defend, but they're able to bomb forward at the best of times. And I just think, I think Brian Lowen may delve into that and may look at his options. Say, you know what? I think we might even get more out of Aidan McCarty. He might be more freer, back wing back and attacking from wing back.
Well, they definitely have a surplus of attackers anyway, and maybe a deficit in defenders. You'd still have Keane Nolan or Shane Amori maybe to come in, who did really well actually yesterday when he did come in. Eddie, from a Cork point of view, lost the game obviously. But to me, lost with a lot of credit, because it looked like the game was going away from them at different stages. Got a draw against Tipperary again when the game was probably going away from them. Like, to me, they're going into the Limerick game in a super position. Beaten, albeit beaten, but beaten with plenty of credit.
Yeah, and it's probably disappointing for them. Like, you look at, I often say about, moments in matches, and like even... And I know we don't know, we haven't a crystal ball, but just for talk sake, and I know it was minimal, and I know there was a bit of gammon on and all the rest of it, but if Tim O'Mahony doesn't do that, Cork possibly get 25, 30 seconds when that free lands to play it out. They might have got to see it out. So these are little moments, like, and you said, Jesus, it's a little rush of the blood in the head, there was very little in it, but that's just after losing them a tiny bit of time maybe to get that. But look, going back to your question, yeah, I think they're in a good position to go and take on Limerick now, because Cork will have the energy, they will always bring loads of legs running all over the place. I mean, that's what rattled Clare at the start yesterday. They went with the two boys inside, and there was loads of space. They dragged the Clare halfbacks probably right out to the flanks and created good space, but obviously Clare figured them out then. They got a couple of good scores out of nothing. Horgan, like, again, I don't think he hit the penalty particularly well, but he still, caused a lot of trouble. He was tidy. He looked himself a little bit more as well. And they have, arguably probably their better team started yesterday. I think Shane Kingston tends to blow hot and cold, but he's always a good man off the bench. So they're in good fettle. Look, it's die dog. Or shite the license, as we say, in terms of what Cork have to do this weekend. They have to go out and it's all or nothing. And maybe that's sometimes you just have to that's it. The pressure is on now. There's no more gimmies. There's no more buybacks. It's all or nothing here. and this is what we're made of. And I think it'll be Pat Ryan be fierce disappointed if they don't, but they have to be very, very ruthless this weekend. I'm sure they have a game plan that's going to allow them to try create space, but they are in good fettle to go into that. But there is that little, it's like an old black cloud hanging over them, that the pressure is on now to deliver, and there has to be a little bit of a doubt there at the same time too.
Yeah, just a quick word on Cork, John. What was your reading on them yesterday, and how do you see how do you see that game going next Sunday?
Yeah, look, I suppose when there were 8 points down, the easiest thing, we've seen time and time again that with a certain amount of these Cork players, that they would have down towels or thrown in the towel. They didn't do that yesterday under Pat Ryan, which is very encouraging bringing into this weekend. I think one thing that Cork will have this weekend, I think they'll have their best 15 starting. Will they start Shane Kingston, or will they hold him in reserve again? I think they'll hold Conor Lahan this weekend. I think Conor Lahan will be better off coming into the match. I think Jerem Elric will start. I couldn't understand why Jerem Elric didn't start. I thought it was crazy. Even when he came on for the blood sub for Tommy O'Connell and then he went off again, they kind of lost 10 minutes in that period where they could have just said, well, you know what, you're going to stay on the field. So yeah, I think Cork, they have the legs, they have the energy, Limerick yesterday were vulnerable, in that full back line, and if Cork can get the runners into their forward line, they can cause that Limerick full back line an awful lot of problems. The one worry I would have for Cork yesterday, they didn't win too many rucks. I counted, ruck after ruck after ruck, Clare came out with every ball, bar the exception of one or two. They're going to have to improve in that area. But look, again, if they can stay in the match, bring it down to the last quarter, who knows, anything could have happened the weekend. And Pat Ryan, a lot of these Cork players will be saying, well, look, lads, we've had, an awful lot of disappointment at the hands of Limerick, i.e., 2018 All-Ireland semi-final when, this Limerick team were coming of age, the All-Ireland final 2021 where, Limerick just blew them out of the water. And Pat Ryan and the Cork management team might be saying to these players, well, look, lads, it's payback time. So, yeah, look, as Eddie touched on, it's just going to be a mouth-watering clash and a cracker to look forward.
I think they need to be in front, Mick. I think they need to be leading. I think Cork need to probably get their noses in front around that third quarter. I think if they can keep maybe slightly ahead of Limerick, that might be the way, because now, as we said there, they came back brilliantly yesterday. But I think for themselves, they're, if you're coming into the last 15 and you're 2-3 up, that might be what they need. That's when you can unload your bench and bring in your energy.
Well, it's going to be a fascinating weekend ahead in Munster. You could say Leinster has been left in the shade somewhat, but Westmeath produced one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen in any sport yesterday. They were 17 down and came back and ended up winning by 2, banged in 4 second half goals. By all records, from talking to everyone and anyone, it's the biggest comeback in championship history. I think 14 points would have been the previous one, and that ended in a draw. We'll just focus on Westmeath for a second, Eddie. Like, just phenomenal, really. They were 2-14 to 3 points down. They rattle in 4-13 in the second half. They hadn't scored from play in the first half. Absolutely bonkers.
And like, you look at that team, like, there's no Killian Dowling there. So yeah. Look, yeah, you just have to take your hat off to them, because I've encountered these boys on the good and the bad of it twice as in under 21 matches. I think we might have were beaten one day and barely got out of Cusack Park the second day. A couple of times then in McDonagh competitions, there's a lot of quality hurlers up there. They pride themselves on their hurling. They're pulling out a small pool. So what they achieved yesterday was incredible. I remember checking Twitter at one stage and seeing the score, and I said, right, that's that, done and dusted. And I just couldn't believe it afterwards when the news started to get around that they were after doing a job on Wexford. So you just say to them, fair play to them. There's some quality hurlers in there like that have stayed the course. I think a lot of those guys, you'd forgive them, because they've taken some heavy beatings over the years. But to be fair to them, they stick at it and they stick at it. And like, again, I touched on it there. Tommy Doyle is a guy I've been watching for quite some time. You know, he, when you think of it, a few years ago up in Turles, maybe was it 18 or 19, he'd done a serious job on Shamie Callanan above in a you know, right, so yeah. that's the level this fella is at. And there's other lads there, like just looking through their team, like Niall O'Brien. I know he's probably in the latter part of his career, but geez, if you know, throw Killian back into that team, you know, David Lennon, Joey Boyle, even the bench when say Derek McLictus, who's their season campaigner, came back on. So you just have to admire what they've done, because I think at this point in the championship, you could forgive them a little bit for maybe not being as energized or not as driven. But that's the mark of this group of players. And you just have to say fair play to them. But they've dealt Wexford an unmerciful blow.
Yeah, they definitely have. John, I just want to throw something at you here. This is what Joe Fortune, I asked him, what did he say to them at half time? He said, I was just really honest with them. I said, we've nothing to lose in the second half. We have families and supporters coming down here. And I just felt we were embarrassing in the first half. I just felt we were too restricted in our play. I put it to them at halftime that it was embarrassing. And I said, there are people down here that are paying their good money. And do you want to leave a legacy as the best Westmeath team ever? It was the first time in the dressing room that I felt, was I a bit too harsh with them? And did they really believe me? Just go out and hurl for the second half and cut these things of systems and shapes and puck outs. He also said they'll probably need a new tactics board because they think he fairly obliterated it at halftime. But they played with a sweeper in the first half, John. Against a bit of a breeze, got no look out of it, went mano a mano in the second half and just looked a completely different outfit. Sometimes maybe you just need to not restrict lads and you just need to let lads hurl off the cuff.
Yeah, and look, I was looking at the highlights last night. I mean, the vast majority of their scores in the last couple of minutes came from just a long high ball, lamped it in, and Jermaine Niall Mitchell went up and, you know, went over Matthew Hanlon, caught one or two balls and stuck it in the back of the net. And sometimes, you know, we touched on it here, what, 2 weeks ago. You know, sometimes you go back to basics and just, you know, the fundamentals of, you know, just getting the ball, you know, having the ball the other end of the field, causing consternation back in any full back line. And look, you were a cornerback, Eddie was a corner forward, I was a corner forward. What does a cornerback or a fullback hate? The quick ball in. What does a corner forward or full forward love? The quick ball in. And I think we're starting to see it now that we're probably, you know, going back to, you know, the old fundamentals of just getting a quick ball in. And we even seen it yesterday in the Tipperary Limerick game. You know, quick ball into Jake Morris, quick ball into Mark Keogh, and they got the scores. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you just have to revert to that. And that's what, you know, Westmead reverted yesterday. They just threw caution to the wind, just said, you know what, we're just going to go for it now. You know, throw tactics out the window, throw sweeper out the window, throw tippy-tappy hurling out the window, and just go for it. And that's what they did yesterday, and they got their just rewards. From a Wexford point of view, you know, it's a devastating result for them. You know, and the consequences of that result yesterday going into this weekend, that, you know, they now have to go and get something against Kilkenny, which ain't going to be easy, you know, to pick themselves up after last weekend. They're going to be relying then, if they don't get anything then against Kilkenny, they're going to be relying on Westmeath to do them a favour against Antrim. You know, that's not a given either. So, you know, it's unthinkable to even think of Wexford playing Joe McDonagh Cup hurling, because to be fair to Wexford, you know, they're not a Joe McDonagh Cup team. No disrespect to Offaly or Laois, you know, with certain bad results down through the years. Back then, it probably, no disrespect to Offaly, it's great to see Offaly back now, but back then it probably suited the likes of Laois or Offaly to drop down a division.
Yeah, Offaly were beaten in their five games and had no complaints. Do you know what I mean? And beaten comprehensively.
Like, you're not seeing that with Wexford. Like you go through their games, they should have beaten Dublin. They beat Antrim by 6 or 7 points. Kilkenny and Nolan Park last year. So, you know, I'm just thinking, like, if I'm just saying results don't go their way this weekend and they are relegated to Joe McDonagh, I think they're going to have to review it, lads. I look, the the rules are the rules, and they have to go down. But look, we're trying to build our game, we're trying to build our competitions, and we're trying to get up as many counties as possible to go and compete at Lee McCarthy level. Sometimes some teams aren't ready to go up and compete at that level, but don't tell me it'd be good for Ireland if Wexford dropped down for a year or two and go and compete at Joe McDonagh Cup level. Absolutely not. And I just think as a whole, I've touched on it as a whole, I think it's come to a crossroads now where the Munster Championship and the Leinster Championship have to be looked at. And there has to be a bit of restructure brought into the thinking of where teams are going to go going forward in regards qualifying for the All-Ireland series, because it's chalk and cheese, lads, the contrast between the Munster Championship and the Leinster Championship. And you only have to look at the attendances. As a Kilkenny man said to me yesterday at the match, you know, you look at the two attendances at the two Munster games yesterday would nearly add up to the whole, you know, the whole total of the attendance of the whole Leinster Championship outside of Leinster final. So I just think it's going to come to a head. I think we're at a crossroads now where the championship is going to have to be revamped and looked at in general.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think when you look at it, and I know, look, all these things, they have to be tried and they come in for good reason and all that. But when you look at it now, lads, like we're coming towards the end of May, and we're potentially by this day next week, we have six plus your two McDonagh teams left in the senior hurling championship. And like going into the month of June, it's just mad. It definitely, and I've been kind of holding back for the last year or two, kind of looking at it, saying, no, you want to give it a chance. And there's been epic matches below in Munster for the last couple of years, this year particularly. But I do think now, like, you're looking at it, because not many clubs are going to kick into gear straight away. That's not going to happen. You're not going to see county finals being played before September. They'll be very, very rare if it is. So the club isn't getting back, and I know there was a reason for that, but I definitely think our inter-county season, and again, I come back to the league-based format where you have maybe a preliminary quarter-final involving eight teams, four more teams waiting in a quarter-final or something like that, and they play every 2 weeks, might be something to look at. It's then how you house your Munster and Leinster championships.
Yeah,
it's
I'll leave you on this one, lads, right? You take Cork and Limerick this weekend, right? Come 5:30 on Sunday evening, one of those two teams are going to be gone out of the championship, right? You look at the two of those teams to date, the two of them have been involved in some crackers in the Munster championship. And they're only defeated...
Only beat in one match each.
Their only defeat in one match each has come with a margin of 1 point. And now, come Sunday at 5:30, one of those two teams are going to be gone out of the championship before June. It's absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah, it's definitely something that they're going to have to look at in time. Just the other two matches in the Leinster Championship, there were wins for Kilkenny. They had a 6-point win over Dublin in Nolan Park, and there was a comprehensive win for Galway as well. But that's all we have time for on this week's episode of The Throw-In. Thanks a million for joining us, Eddie Brennan and John Milan. Keep in tune with the podcast on Spotify, and we will see you again next week. Thanks a million for joining, and goodbye.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.